then the guidance chirping began to slow. Vistara kept rolling, and the chirping in her earbud became even slower. There was a turn coming. She rolled again, then fired back down the corridor. Someone close screamed. Vistara sprang up on her good leg and limped two steps. Then the chirping grew steady. She turned left and felt the floor disappear. Forcing herself not to cry out, she tucked herself into a ball and bounced down a steep, rugged ramp. It had probably once been a stairwell, but it lay crusted beneath so much dirt and yorick coral it felt more like a hillside. The fall seemed to last forever, and she did what she could to protect herself, using the force to slow herself and cushion the blow. Still, every time her wounded leg came down, the impact sent a pang of anguish through her entire body. Finally, Vistara reached a level surface and stopped. She was lying on her back in the darkness. Her head was spinning, and her body felt like one big bruise. She had lumps rising on her forearms and on the shin of her uninjured leg, and the wounded leg felt like the bone was on fire. But at least she was alone, and the only sound in her ears was the chirping of the guidance beacons, now rapid and insistent, telling her to turn right. Vistara rolled to her stomach and looked back up the stairs, or tried to. The automatic illumination was not working in this part of the temple, and all she could see was darkness. She removed one chirping earbud and listened to the patter of running boots somewhere above. They had missed the stairwell, for now. They would discover their mistake as soon as they activated the next set of glow panels. She returned the earbud to its place and followed the chirp signals into the darkness. The space felt large and open, with warm, swirling air and faint plopping sounds that seemed to come from every direction. A dozen painful steps later, the warm air began to puff directly into her face. The plopping sounds grew more infrequent and more likely to come from behind her. She seemed to be entering some sort of broad passage. She thought about using the lightsaber for illumination, but in that echoing labyrinth, the distinctive sizzle would be heard hundreds of meters distant. So she continued to limp into the darkness. And then she heard it. The soft pfoot of a puff fungus expelling its spores. Vistara clamped her mouth shut and exhaled through her nose, then force sprang three paces backward. She ignited her lightsaber. As she had expected, before her was a slender, knee-high mushroom with a web of sticky feeder threads draping out of a freshly burst cap, still engulfed in its yellow cloud of paralyzing spores. Just beyond was the mouth of a tunnel about 3 meters high. The passage had probably been completely round before the yorick coral had taken hold, but now it was more of a lopsided oval. Two more of the deadly fungi stood just inside the tunnel mouth, their caps not yet swollen enough to explode. Vistara spun in a slow circle, using her lightsaber to illuminate the surrounding area. She was standing on a large platform that ended at the mouth of the tunnel. In the small area that she could see, there were at least 6 more fungi, along with several large patches of gray moss. The mosses were probably acid mats, which enwrapped anything that stepped on them. Lying just at the edge of the light, she saw a large gray cocoon. The half-meter-long tail of a giant slash rat trailed out of the end, and where it entered the cocoon, the flesh had been eaten to the bone. Vistara's heart sank. She had seen such things before, and she knew exactly what they meant.